Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Northfield Falls Fisherman Ministry Sunday service. So we're kind of carrying our iPad, just played tremendous music. I was impressed with that. She was like a DJ. So this morning, you know, I got a call from Carter the other day, you know, who's out in Colorado. Could you turn down your headphones? I hear an echo. I got a call from Carter the other day on Sunday, or yesterday, and, you know, Carter and I had a good talk, and I enjoy talking to Carter. Hang on a second. We still getting an echo from some... Oh, okay. So we had a good talk, and, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, or, you know, I came up was... Well, here, let me read this first, and I'll bring it up. So I'd like to go to Matthew 22:15, and this is the parable, or this is the story about Jesus being tempted with whether to pay tribute to Caesar or not. So then went the Pharisees and the council, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Shew me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. When they heard these words, they marveled and left and went their way. Now, Carter and I had a talk yesterday, and after we talked, you know, I was sitting there mowing the lawn and, you know, with my little headphones, you know, jamming to a Sunday service somewhere, you know, and one of the things that came to me, what we had talked about, you know, we talk about how we are often like a coin. Okay. The way my flesh or my attitude works is often like a coin. Now, when you look at the coin, you look at the head, okay? You know, sometimes we get that attitude of where, oh my God, I'm so good. Wow, man, I am just awesome. Look at all the things I'm doing for the Lord. And then other times you sit there and you're the tail. And you go, God, it really stinks. You know, all I can see is a life full of dung. You know, and, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm flipped like a coin multiple times a day. Sometimes I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm just so awesome. Guys, get out of my way. Okay, other times I'm like, oh, my God, how can you even love me? So, you know, Carter and I talked about this, and, you know, I'm sitting there mowing the lawn, and this scripture came to mind, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, why has this scripture come to my mind? Right? You know, when I look at being the head of the coin, right, my head, thank God, is as far away from my tail as it can be. Okay? I don't get to enjoy the fragrances that the tail produces. Okay? And we forget really who we are. You know, we forget that the fact that we really are that tail. You know, and then when we get to that tail portion of our feelings, you know, we forget that we have a better way. You know, and I know that in talking to Carter, you know, I'm talking about flipping this coin, and you know, that coin gets flipped and it lands on the ground, and sometimes it's heads, and you know, it gets flipped and sometimes it's tails. You know, and then what the Lord showed me is that the flesh is that coin. Because whose likeness and superscription is on that coin? It's mine. Okay? It's my face on that coin because that coin also represents my flesh. It represents the carnal things that I deal with. You know, you look at the Pharisees and, you know, one of the reasons they brought the coin not only to trick Jesus, but you know, let's face it. They didn't want to render their carnal things under Caesar. They wanted to keep them for themselves. You know, so how often are we like the Pharisees who want to hang on to those coins and not let them go? Now, personally, I don't like rendering things unto Caesar, but, you know, I mean, talking about my cardinal things unto Caesar, taxes, okay, I do it, okay? But, you know, the Pharisees, they wanted to hang on, and they wanted to hang on to those coins because they were the cardinal things that represented them. They liked being that coin or that superscription, you know, their face and their image, because it glorified them. And what was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, give them away. You know, get rid of them. I mean, render unto him, unto Caesar, the things that be Caesar's, and unto God, the things that be at God. You know, we're to look at serving the Lord with our spirit, our soul and our spirit. Now, we also render service to God, too, by our carnal things and supporting those in the gospel. But the thing that the Lord was showing me about this thing after I got done talking to Carter is that as long as we're going to be that coin, we're going to be flipped in the air and tossed all around. You know, it says, you know, forgive me, you're carried away with every slight of doctrine or soon shaken. I it came to me, but I don't remember where it's at right now. But anyway, you know, as long as we're that coin, we're going to be tossed. We're going to be flipped in the air, and sometimes it's going to be heads, and, you know, we go, woohoo, and sometimes it's tails, and it's like, oh, God, how can you ever love me? You know, how can I ever serve you? That coin is our flesh. And I know that in order to serve God, what we have to do is we have to allow that coin to flip in the air and land on tails, to look at really who we are, but turn away from that and serve God. You know, render unto God the things that are God's. You know, that coin in the end has to be on tails because that's who we are. You know, it stinks. Okay. Huh? Yeah. It stinks. You know, it's only by God's grace that we have a way out of that. And so if we look at ourselves, let's not be like that coin. Okay, that coin, yes, it's still going to be kicked around. It's going to be, you know, hopefully not flipped too many times. But, you know, if we see what that is, then we can walk away and we can render unto God the things that are His. And we can render unto Him that service to Him and not worry about that coin lying on the ground. You know, that coin is our flesh. That coin represents the carnal things of this world. You know, I look at most people out here. You know, they value their life by the amount of coins they have in their bag. You know, It's all about that out here. And unfortunately, you look at the churches today, they're all about being that coin. Unfortunately, though, for the most part, they're about wanting to be the head of that coin and not the tail of that coin. You know, I remember I don't know if I heard this on TV when I was flipping through the channels or I was somewhere and I heard it. But anyway, this woman, church woman was saying, you know, God promised me I'm going to be the head and not the tail. Or the pastor said, you know, you're the head and not the tail or something like that. And I don't quite remember the exact context. But our flesh is the tail. It stinks. You know, I don't know about you, but I absolutely get into these things where the flesh just makes me god-awful miserable. And I'm sure everyone who knows the Lord gets into, you know, realizes that too. But if we're to serve God, we have to let that coin tail side up so we can look at it and say, it stinks, and walk away and turn, serve God and not look back at it. Okay. That coin is the carnal things. So let's serve God and render unto God the things that be God's.
I guess we're switching speakers. I'm going to turn to Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do you even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I read this because this scripture is what I kind of, I meditate on it and I don't know, I just love this scripture. Last week I got a call from somebody and she was pretty sick. And her daughter had gone on a river cruise on the Connecticut River, and this woman got a call from the professor saying that the daughter was sick and needed to come home. She was throwing up, coughing, she was just extremely sick. Now, just to put this into perspective, this is a girl that I've known all her life. I've loved her as a daughter, and she's been involved in my life a lot. And she, you know, has gone off doing her own thing, like most of us do and have done, and pretty much cut me out of her life. Doesn't want to have anything to do with me, nothing, you know, nothing nice to say, whatever. And it doesn't matter to me. I love her regardless. But I got a call from her mother saying, you know, I'm sick. You know, she's going to be there 45 minutes to pick her, you know, drop her off at 45 minutes. It's a 3-hour drive. Can you go with me? And I'm like, yep, no problem. Thanks to Steve. He gave me time to do it. And I got down. We drove a 3-hour trip down to pick this girl up who usually doesn't have two words to say to me any longer. And I, you know, we got home. She slept in the car on the way back. And the mother was sick enough, so I had to pull over so she could throw up on the side of the road. You know, it was just one of those trips. But that evening, I got a call from the girl. And she says, I just want to thank you for helping my mom go to get me. And that really meant a lot to me. And I'm like, that's okay. No problem. You know. And she, as we were hanging up, she says, I love you. And I said, I love you too. And it's not about what I did. You know. It was the fact that I felt very strongly from the Lord that I needed to go do this for this girl's sake. It would have been very easy to sit back in my little perspective corner and be right. And you treated me badly. You cut me out of your life. You didn't want to have anything to do with me, so therefore you just go back in your little corner and suffer. You got what you deserved. And how many of us would do that? I mean, how many people out there would do that? Sit in their perspective right corners, full of self-righteousness and rightness. That's not the way Jesus works in our lives. It doesn't matter whether they treat you well or not. We love them regardless. It says, be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It means to do good to them that despitefully use you, who do bad to you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how they treat us or anything else. It doesn't matter. Only Jesus in heaven matters. And Jesus would do the same for us and has done the same for us. And that's the only reason we have the opportunity to follow him and have the opportunity for salvation.
Amen. Just a little thing to share. Charlie spoke about the flesh. It doesn't matter which way the coin drops. The flesh is not our hope. It is not our salvation. We reckon ourselves dead to it. And I yesterday had gotten up and moved forward. And along the way in the day, I found that that which the Lord had given me and that I had stood in the beginning of the day, got kind of confused with my flesh, or dropped off because of my flesh. And I was reminded of the sower and the seed where, and that's in Matthew 17. I'm just going to read it, real quick. Matthew 13, if I said that wrong. Verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he said, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the one I want to go to is the one that fell among thorns. And if you go over a little further in the chapter, verse 22 of chapter 13 of Matthew, he says, because Jesus is now explaining this parable to the disciples, and he says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And one of the things that I am aware of and have prayed and asked the Lord to cease in me is where you hear the word and then you forget it and don't do it. And yesterday it became plain to me the reason why I forget it is because I turn from the grace and the hope and the power and the knowledge of God and look at myself. For me, it's my own particular way I do it. Unnecessary to go into that. But in that, then, the word of God is stolen. But I want to go, because it wasn't stolen because I put it off. It wanted to be stolen. Satan was willing, or Robin, and as the case may be, was willing to replace the victory and power and sufficiency and provision of God's word with my own self. But a couple of things that I want to share. In 2 Peter, which the men did a Bible study on, and I encourage everybody to re-listen to it. But I'm just going to read down through from in 2 Peter 1 through 5. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And then it goes on, and other things to add. So add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. I wanted to stop there at the virtue, though. Add to my faith virtue. That is where, because I believe solely in the fact that Jesus' blood has given me entrance into his body, I stand in that faith and stand up in his body and take my place. My natural man is well aware of the fact that I lack a lot to and have a lot to learn in that place. But this is the starting place when we receive Christ, when we choose to know only him and his sufficiency, and when we take our place because it has been granted us by his blood. Not because I have anything to offer, and not because of anything about me. And so when I have a day like yesterday, and I stand up and I trust the Lord and I cast my cares upon him, and I know the word of God, and yet find myself having fallen, it doesn't take me away from that place. And I wanted to go to, because the thing about Paul, the apostle, which our Paul also partakes of that which Paul taught, but Second Timothy, there's a couple of things, as Carrie spoke about Matthew 6, 5, that I think about. I want to know. I want to do. Starting on 2 Timothy 2, just going to start at the beginning. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That is what we have to be strong in. It is there because we need it. He says in James, the Lord, that God giveth more grace to the humble. The humble are those who recognize their need, kind of like Charles's tail side of the penny, but receive it and stand in it, grow strong in it, and in the knowledge that we are there because of what he did, and that in that place, we can add those other things that Peter said. We can war a good warfare. We can do it lawfully. And that was a scripture in Philippians. Let me just read a little bit of Philippians here, because you can see Paul fighting the warfare of faith. And this is what we must do. You know, the Bible says to mark them and follow their faith. Well, we have people in the here and now that we do that to, who have heard the testimony of Paul and done it, and we have them as our examples. But we also share in having the testimony of Paul. And he goes down in chapter 3 and he talks about his past. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews." Now, Benjamin was the tribe that stuck by Judah, I believe. So he was in the right place. You know, I mean, he was it. He had it all going for him. "As touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." You know, I listen, and the beauty of being around the body of Christ is we can see oftentimes clearer on another person how unbelief works, so that we can apply it and see it in ourselves. It's not like, well, I'm not like that. It's actually, it's visible on you, and I know that I had that same battle. And one of the battles I see is people trying to reconcile their flesh and make it okay. Give it some credence, some value, some justification, and there is none. He's our only justification. And until we are willing to take our place in him, with him being why we get to be there, and the fact that our past is nothing of good, and rest in that, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Am I offended at the gospel? Are you offended at the gospel? Do you have to justify and feel that you're better than others? Looking back and thinking, I wasn't like that? Really doesn't matter how we were, because the Word of God said it wasn't good. Praise God if we didn't do some things, but we did others. So, but he goes down and he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And this is where Paul chooses Christ as his Lord, and he verbalizes it. This is where he chooses to not value his flesh or anything in it, and not even needing to, that Christ and Christ alone is what he wants, period. And to be able to stand in that and be strong in that grace that Christ provides him, because he goes down and he says, you know, let me read it. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now I want to stop there for a second here, because you see Paul standing and taking his place in the body of Christ and doing the will of God, even while he said he had not yet gotten to that place where he said, I have apprehended. That's actually pretty helpful, isn't it? The fact that I haven't gotten to that place doesn't mean I can't or I won't, because in Christ I can do all things. It only takes place in Christ, though. It only takes place in Christ. But when we take our place in Christ, by his grace and by his mercy, trusting and holding on and not letting go to the fact that his blood gave us that right, only reason why we have it, there all the promises of God are ours too. Walk in, to go after, to press towards, to believe, to displace our own thoughts with what the Word of God says. It's the only place it'll take place. And in that place, we can add these things to our faith. We can war a good warfare. In Timothy also, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Well, actually, let me go back to chapter 2 first. What happens with people is they war a bad warfare, not striving lawfully. Paul says it down here in 2 Timothy 2, where he says, listen to this, starting with verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The striving lawfully is that place where we believe the Word of God and stand up because we do it. And we war against and put off everything that exalts itself against it. And trust and are strong in the grace by which we are saved. And we hope until the end for that grace that will be shown unto us. And you go, you know, because Paul says in 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy, he says, you know, this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, let me read it because I'm losing it there, I apologize. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I used to read that and think, well, that applies to me. God's had to be really long-suffering with me. The truth is, that's the truth, but the bigger truth is, the only way of salvation is this way that God showed that pattern of through Paul. All long-suffering, so that those who would, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. We have Paul as our example if we will hear him, not be offended at the walk of faith, and press on, knowing that it's good. knowing that we can, knowing that all of the promises of God are yes and amen, but they're only that by faith in Him. Period. It is, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the flesh, they come against us all. I mean, to pretend they don't would be to lie. What do we do with them when they come against us? We put them off and we stand strong in the grace of God. And every morning, notwithstanding the day before, we have His mercies by which we can war a good warfare to come to that place where we attain or apprehend that for which we are apprehended. That's what it is about, that we get there. And we can. Because we can do all things through Christ Jesus. We can do nothing on our own. We might think we can, but we can't. But, you know, that was Paul in 1 Timothy. Paul in 2 Timothy, and the end of his confession is found in 2 Timothy 4. And he's exhorting and talking to Timothy, giving him some, maybe not final words, but we see these recorded. He says this, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love is appearing." Paul strove for mastery lawfully. Not using the law, but using the blood of the Lamb, the grace of God by which he would not be moved in the presence of everybody. We know that Paul said that he fell short. We see it. We see where he went to Jerusalem against the direct leading of the Holy Spirit. Everybody knew it. It wasn't done in secret. And three times he was told in three separate places, so he had three separate audiences to get to see him not obey. And yet when he got there, he was still standing, still giving that which the Lord would have him give. Still warring that good warfare by the blood of the Lamb. And you see him go from victory to victory to victory to victory. And you see those who would go after eternal life like Paul stuck with him. Because they knew God was with him. Paul preached the gospel in word, in deed, and sure, deeds going out. But by depending upon it himself. Can you imagine the humbleness that that takes? To stand in Christ because of what he did, even though it's obvious you did nothing to deserve it, nothing that's right. Are you willing not to have to justify you so that you can be found in him? That's a warfare. It's one that we can do by faith. If we'll do that, we will be pleasing to God. It's an act, it's a humbling walk. It's one where we don't justify ourselves. It's one where we don't have to make excuse. And it's one where, as Carrie ministered, you can stand ready. No matter what a person has done or hasn't done, to minister the love of God to them. That's what we're striving for. We cannot do it in our flesh. What we got to do is no longer walk in our flesh. We fall. That's why he gives us mercy. That's why he gives us grace. That's why the blood of the Lamb is sufficient. That's why he's long-suffering. Praise God. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We avail ourselves of them by faith. And that's something we had to diligently do. We're in a warfare. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I am now ready to be offered. That's what we are going after, being able to say and know to be true. Not in presumption, but because we did. Paul considered himself nothing. And every day he sacrificed himself, so to speak, and his what others thought of him, whatever, for the glory and gospel of Jesus Christ. Few people looked and necessarily were thankful. Few people looked at him and thought he was somewhat. He wasn't in the natural man, but in Christ Jesus, he was. We gotta set that as our mark and go after it. The fact that we fall, well, it's a crowd. We all fall. Ain't nobody outside of that crowd. Shows why we can have compassion on one another. Because, and why we need to exhort one another in Christ Jesus.